And now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. Well, listen, we're glad you're here this morning. As you can see, I'm not preaching today, but we have a very exciting friend that's visiting with us today, Pastor Luis Padilla. I'm excited to have Pastor Luis here today. Help me welcome my friend, Luis Padilla, pastor, missionary from Argentina, coming to bring you a fresh and relevant word from God this morning. Help me pray for him. Stretch out your hands. Father, in the name that is above every name, Father, we pray for Pastor Luis this morning. God, anoint his words. Let them be your words from the throne of grace. God, we open our hearts and our minds to hear you and receive what you have for each one of us and to answer your call with obedience and faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, come on. Let's give it up for Pastor Eddie and Miss Peggy. Amen. Your family. I really believe you guys have amazing pastors, man. And I just met your kids, and I think they're fantastic, too. Well, one of them. I met one of them. I'm sure the rest of them are great. Okay, great. Well, you guys have an amazing family and an amazing church, and just humbled, thankful, and honored to be here with you guys this morning for the next 3 hours that I have to preach. I'm glad you guys are paying attention. But honored and thankful to Pastor Eddie. Thanks for the privilege of being here. I know we wanted to connect a couple years ago, just hadn't. But just thank you again, and thanks for all that you do. Thanks for praying for us. And you guys collectively as a church have sent us to the nation of Argentina, or Argentina. I'm not Argentine. I'm from Guatemala. Why am I in Argentina? Ask God. I don't know. But anyway, I'll tell you a couple of stories during my time today, during my message today. I'll tell you a couple of stories. Can't share everything, of course, but I just want to give you enough information to activate your faith into what God wants to do in your life. I'm glad two of you said amen to that. But before we enter, I want to present to you my wife. This is my precious wife, Lourdes, right here on my right. Yep. Don't know why she chose me, but I'm glad God still blinds people. But, also with us is the younger version of Sylvester Stallone. If you could please stand up, my son Adrian. Just humble that you guys are with us here. We came for a short trip and didn't want to leave without, of course, visiting Pastor Eddie. I know I owed him that, and just grateful. We are in Argentina. Where in the world is Argentina, you ask? Well, it's a good 24 hours total travel time from here. So it's just one way, 12 hours flying into the city of Buenos Aires, and then from there we fly more into the north. And so anyway, a lot of fun. But why are we there? What we do, you see the videos here, we do three things. The first thing we do is we reach people for Christ. Really believe that's the church's mission, to reach the lost for Jesus. Really believe that's why God allows pandemics in the world, is because he wants to reach people. He wants people to wake up to the reality of eternal life. And so I really believe there's nothing more important in God's agenda than us being active in the Great Commission. And so we set up a tent mainly in spots your mom and your dad will tell you to don't go. So we're reaching gang members for Christ. We're reaching, witches for the Lord, believe it or not. Maybe I'll tell you a story about that. But and as we set up the tent, and we reach people, we enter the second phase of our work, which is basically spiritual formation. We're into leadership development, and as we raise national leaders, then we plant churches. And by the grace of God, we've been able to establish 5 churches like that in the past 8 years. We have, come on, give God some praise. We have 2 in the province of Salta. Can you say with me, Salta? Wow, that's very good Spanish. That's bordered with Bolivia in the north, and we have 2 other churches in the province of, you're going to like this one, Jujuy! Wow, you guys are amazing, naturals. And then we have 1 in Buenos Aires. You guys got that. But today, one of our churches, it's 7th year anniversary, so we just thank God for the privilege of seeing him move in other people's lives. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that round of applause. Thanks for coming. Have a great day. Nah, I'm just playing. Just playing. If you have your Bibles, please come with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. If you don't have your Bible, I know you brought your smartphone device. And on there, you may have a Bible app or whatever. You can look that up too. But get in the Word. And if you didn't bring your phone, maybe you have somebody that you can see what they're doing, not reading the Bible. Maybe in their social media, tell them to pull the Bible. But whatever you have, come with me to Luke chapter 5. And before we enter that reading today, I brought my little bottle of mayo. And you may ask, what in the world does mayonnaise have to do with this message, right? Well, in a form of introduction, I just want to tell you what mayo is all about. Don't worry, I'm not selling mayo to anybody. But mayo, mayonnaise, right? Mayonnaise, I was researching that mayonnaise is mainly made up of things that never would mix with each other. Oil, water, etc. And there's a secret ingredient, not secret, but there's a main ingredient in there that brings things together that otherwise never would. The name of that ingredient, of course, the technical one is an emulsifier, but Spanish guys like me don't know, so you have to Google all these things, right? An egg. An egg acts as an emulsifier. It brings two things together, and it makes one new substance out of them. For instance, people in bakery do it all the time. They get the cake mix. They get the, it's open, so I don't want to throw it. Water and stuff. And so it makes one new substance. What do I tell you that? I'll tell you that to tell you this. The good news of Christ is God's emulsifier for our world today. The good news of Christ is able to bring love and hope into a hopeless situation and bring about one new people. I'll tell you that to tell you this. You and I are God's answers for the problems of our world today. I tell you that to tell you this. I hope it's not in politics. Amen. I hope it's not in the economic system to get better. Right. I hope it's not in the health department to better itself. Our hope is in Christ and in the gospel alone, because it's the only thing that God is actively and presently doing in our world today. Amen. So if you came discouraged today, if you came hopeless today, I have that good news for you. There's hope in Christ. If you come to him, everything will change. Luke chapter 5 tells us how this good news changed the life of a man. And as a result of that active work in this man's life, hope was given to nations. So let's read real quick what Jesus did here in this man's life. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Now we'll read a couple of verses and then we'll pause real quick. Luke 5, 1. One day Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And great crowds, say with me, crowds, please. Wow. Great crowds pressed on him to listen to the word of God. Verse 2. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. How many boats?
Two
boats. For the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets, a.k.a. we're punching out, we're going home. Verse 3. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. We'll pause right there. I notice you guys have this amazing bulletin with that amazing face and this other amazing face right there. And on there, they were so nice to put my notes together. So you don't fall asleep in church, let me just give you number one right now. All right. Here it is. The word of God seeks a willing vessel. The word of God always seeks a willing vessel. We read that as crowds were coming to Jesus, he noticed two boats. But he decided to get into one boat. Crowds were coming to him, saw two boats, but he chose Simon's boat. Why? Because the word of God always seeks willingness, availability, openness. And God knew what Simon Peter's heart was like. And he knows what your heart is like. And he knows that you're not perfect. And God knew that Simon Peter had missed a mark or two. But he had an open heart. He had a willing heart. He had an available heart. And I just really love that about the good news in our hearts and in our lives. People that are standoffish to the message don't see many miracles. But people that are open and hungry to receive from the Lord will see God's hand at work big time. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is this. When God wants to change you, he's going to get all up in your business. Can I get a witness in God's house? He's going to get all up in your business. As a matter of fact, I spent the last 3 or 4 days with my nephews. I have 5 nephews. And you know how we all have that cool uncle? That cool uncle? I'm that guy. I'm that guy. And so we were joking around, playing cards or something. He said, Tio! But that's word for uncle. Tio, Wicho! I said, what's up? You know what you call a nosy pepper? Now, they've done this to me before, so let me think about this. And they know I'm always figuring it out. And before I figured it out, they said this. The jalapeno business. Get it? Jalapeno business? All right. They say if you got to explain a joke, it's not a joke. I thought that was pretty good. Listen, when God wants to do something, he's going to get all up in your business. Here, he got literally into Simon Peter's business because he was focused about the work he wanted to do in his heart. He knew Simon Peter was lacking something in his life. Yes, he was successful. Yes, he had a business passed down generationally. But he had something lacking. He had a relationship with the Father that was lacking. And that's something that God, through Christ, wants to give each and every one of us. He knows you're successful. He knows you got it going on. He knows you're educated. But if you're missing Jesus, you're missing everything. You're missing the purpose and the meaning for your life. And don't you know how God, knowing this about Simon, begins a work of faith in him? By getting into his boat. He wanted to show Simon something that he had never seen before. And maybe you're in church here for the first time. Maybe you came out of, like I first came to church. I didn't grow up in church. I went to church because I wanted to hook up with this girl. Who's now my wife. Don't freak out. I guess it worked out going to church. Listen, we don't choose God. Remember when Jesus said that? You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to bring good news to the world. Before you even stepped into church, before even Jesus stepped into his boat, Jesus had his eye fixed on this sinful, imperfect man. And can I just share that and give hope to somebody today? God knows you missed the mark. But he still sees your heart, and you're still good enough. You're still a candidate to bring the love and the message of Christ to those that are in need. That's good news for you today. God wants to heal areas in Simon Peter's heart. God wants to heal areas into your heart. But as this is happening, crowds are coming. The word's being preached. Hope is rising. Doubts are doing their work too. He's beginning now to think, Peter is. I guess he just passively listened to the message. He wasn't expecting what Jesus was going to tell him to do next. Mm-hmm. And let me just say this to prepare my next point. I got 17 of them, but this is the second one. Let me just tell you this. That before you can see what God wants to do and how God wants to use you, God's always going to defy your reason. Your logic is going to defy it. You know, we live in an age of thinkers
That's great that we're thinking and we're in technology, but God wants us to really think. Because when you get the mind of Christ into your system, that's when you really begin to think. Let's see how it happened into Simon Peter's life. Verse 4, it says this. It says, when he had finished speaking, in other words, sermon is done, he said to Simon, now go where it is deeper. It's the middle of the day. And let down your nets to catch some fish. Here comes reason. Verse 5, Master. The original translation of that is, boss man. Simon Peter replied, we work hard all last night, and we didn't catch a thing. I like how the Bible translated that. He said, we didn't catch a little fish. He said, we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. Let me just speak that prophetically over this church, over somebody today. You tried before and it didn't work. And so now you're downtrodden and feel like a failure. But today, God is prophetically telling you, try it again. This time is gonna work because I'm in this business. So try it again. You're not a failure, but every failure in the heart, in the arms of the Father, in the hands of the Father, he is going to bring success out of it. Right. Because in God, you can only fail forward.
Amen.
You will never fail back into shame. You're going to fail back into character. You're going to fail forward into discovering your purpose in life. So if you failed, today God tells you, try again. It's going to work. It's going to work this time. As this is going on and he's thinking, he knows better, Peter does, that you don't fish in the middle of the day. You don't catch big fish in the middle of the day. You fish at night. But he says, but if you say so. You see, faith now is beginning to rise in his heart and maybe in your heart and mine. Because you counted the cost and it doesn't add up. It's just not going to work. You asked me about Argentina. Maybe you're not. But let me just tell you about the situation in Argentina right now. Argentina is probably one of the worst places to live today. Inflation is to the roof. Give an example. When we about 5 years ago, a dollar was $1 equals 8 of theirs. 5 years ago. Today, $1 equals 196 of theirs. Oh, wow. In just 5 years. 60% of poverty. Health systems collapsed, borders shut twice, maybe even a third time now in the next few months. Crime has risen, churches are closing. It's not a good place to go live. You out of your mind. Why are you even going and bringing your family there? Because God builds his kingdom through in dark times.
Amen.
The darkest times presently in our lives is when the church needs to be present to shine the light of Jesus. That's why you go. Because God is always up to something else. Whenever the church is not present in a community, darkness rises. That's why we have to push even harder. And that's why here Jesus is calling Peter into deeper areas. And maybe God's calling you into deeper areas. He's calling him to deep water. He said, you have to go deep. Take the boat into deep water. And he didn't want to. And we don't want to either. You know why? Because we're afraid of losing control. We don't want to be put in a place where we're not in the control of the situation. We don't like it when our kids go to college and they pick a college you don't want them to go to. That's out of your control. Now you have to trust God to be God. Listen, when you let go, you let God. And here, Jesus told him, almost as a prerequisite to what God wanted to do. He says, bring this boat into deep, deep water. And Simon responded, if you say so. At this point in Jesus' life, I like what, of Peter's life, I like what happens here. Because at this point, Peter is stressed out. He is exhausted physically. He is anxious because we know he had a family. And if she was from Honduras like mine is, boy, when you bring bread in, it gets pretty anxious in the house. He's exhausted. He's tired. He's stressed. But you know what? Jesus meets him there. Maybe today you're like Peter, stressed, doubtful, anxious, worried, and I have good news for you. Jesus will meet you at your lowest point and choose you because of it. So that at the end of the day, all the glory won't go to your degree, won't go to your job, but at the end of the day, you can say, man, I was in my lowest point, and Jesus met me there. So the glory goes to him. It's the same word that Paul, that God spoke into the life of the Apostle Paul. He said, my grace is enough for you. When you're hurting, when you're in pain and you don't understand, my grace is enough for you because my power works best in your weakness. You're hurting, you're disappointed, you're anxious, you're stressed, but you're in a perfect spot to see a fresh move of God in your life if you only activate your faith, if you only walk into the path God has laid before you and you trust him. Even when it doesn't make sense, you're going to see a fresh move of God in your life. Let's see how it happened in Simon Peter's life. Bring me to the third thing. An encounter with Jesus will equip you to reach people. Amen? An encounter with Jesus will equip you to reach people. Verse 6 through 11 goes like this. When Simon Peter realized what had happened. Verse 6. And this time, their nets were so full of fish in the middle of the day that they began to tear. Again, God proving that by trusting in him, you can't go wrong. Verse 7, a shout for help brought their partners into the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they caught, as were the others with him. We'll pause right there. He had followed Jesus' command. He trusted God even when it didn't make any sense. And he saw the greatest catch of his entire life. His catch was so great that this professional and successful businessman let go of everything he was doing to follow this man. In other words, he trusted God when things defied his reason, and God not only met him there, but exceeded his expectations of what God can do with a heart that's open and willing to serve him. But Simon Peter told him, listen, I'm not worthy of this miracle. Depart from me. Leave me alone. Which begs the question, why would you ask Jesus to leave you at a time like this? Well, fear. Just like we said today, fear will do that to us. You know what fear means, right? Somebody told me this. You know what fear stands for? False evidence appearing to be real. I like that, huh? Somebody gonna put that on Facebook. Look what I made up. Go ahead, do it. Do it. Give God the praise. False evidence appearing to be real. So he's worried. He's anxious at this moment. He sees the hand of God in a miraculous, ridiculous way. Two boats full of fish in the middle of this. This doesn't happen. This doesn't even happen at night. Unless God's in it. But you remember our first parents, Adam and Eve. They enjoyed relationship with God. They had a communion with the Father every day. They had intimacy, enjoying each other's presence, like it happens in marriage, right? You know you have good intimacy with your spouse whenever you don't have to say a word. You just enjoy each other's presence. Because there's been years and time invested there in the relationship of listening, talking. Now y'all paying attention, huh? You enjoy each other's presence. And that's Adam and Eve and God. They're enjoying this time together, heaven on earth, literally. Until something happened. Until they disobeyed. and they sinned against God. And what was their reaction when they sinned? They went and hid. They hide, right? They hid from the Lord. And that's the same reaction Peter is showing here. That he knows he's in the presence of God and I'm not worthy to be in this place. Do you guys know what I have done? Do you know what I have done? I don't deserve you, Jesus. I don't deserve this moment. But here's the good news. Forgiveness. Yes. Forgiveness of sins belongs to God. And God was the one that sought out this man. And God is the one that's been seeking you your entire life to give you forgiveness for free so that you and him can once again enjoy relationship and you can see supernatural things happen as a natural course of life, because when you hang with the Father, these kind of things happen. I'm not going to surprise you anymore, because it flows out of communion. And that's what Jesus was wanting to give to Simon. And that's what Jesus wants to give you. And that's what Jesus wants to give the 32 million of Argentines that have yet to receive him as their Lord and Savior. Remember 2013, our first year there, we did one of these crusades that you saw in the picture. And we had a banner outside on the first day. I had never preached in Argentina before like this. We had a banner outside that said, "In here, God is doing great things." We hadn't even had a service before. But faith defies reason.
Yes, it does.
Here, God's doing great things. Miracles are happening here. Never had a service before. Forgiveness can be found here. So the first night, a few of us gathered together, worshiped Jesus. People came to Christ and everything. A week into this, because we do that every night. Every night for like a full month. So a week into this, a man shows up because he saw us on TV announcing the campaign, the Jesus campaign, forgiveness and miracles, and all of these things are happening in this place. So this man comes. He comes, he sits all the way in the back. And at the end of the message, he comes and he comes to us and we say, "Hey, do you want to receive Jesus as your Savior?" He just nodded his head. Pray for him, left. The next day, before church started, he was there on the seat again, the first one there. And he said, "I need to speak to whoever's in charge of here," like almost mad. So I sent somebody else to go talk to him. And they were like, "Hey, he wants to know what kind of witch doctor are you?" Never been called a witch in my life. I guess it's the first time for everything, right? So I want to talk to him. We say, "Hey, yeah, I wanna know what kind of witch are you?" I said, "Man, we don't do witchcraft here. What are you talking about?" I said, "Let me tell you something, older man. For 40 years, I've been an addict to nicotine. Love to smoke. I left here yesterday, made the line to catch the bus to go home. Went a light of cigarette. I almost threw up. Made it to my house. We were my wife in the house, tried to smoke again. I almost threw up again. I thought I was getting sick. So I went to sleep. This morning on my way to work, looked for my cigarettes, tried to light them up again. I couldn't smoke, so I want to know what kind of spell you put on me." And I said, "Roque, when you, Roque is his name. When you came up front, did you want God to forgive you of your sins for all your heart?" "Of course I want God to forgive me of my sins." "Well, you know what happened? Nobody put a spell on you, but the Spirit of God came and lived on the inside of you. And that man that came yesterday is not the man I'm talking to today, because you became a new man. A new man in Christ." I tell him this on the spot. If I'm lying, I'm dying. You know how y'all say that here, right? If I'm lying, I'm on the spot, the man begins to speak in other tongues, in other languages, gets full of the Holy Spirit right there on the spot, even church before he even started. It's amazing. Amazing. So this guy's crazy. He goes to his job. Needless to say, his job back in the day was basically you live off of cheating people. So he went to his job and they had a big party or whatever on the weekend, and he got up and made a toast. and he had about 80 coworkers there. And he said, ding, 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 I want to make a toast. Everybody looking, everybody drinking and stuff. He said, look, I'm just here for one reason. I'm here to ask you guys for forgiveness. They all started laughing. They thought he was drunk. And then he went name by name. In the year, whatever, 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 I cheated you out of this deal, so today I'm paying you back. I cheated you out of this deal, so today I'm paying you back. And he went like that throughout the whole room. And I want to ask you for forgiveness for what I cheated you off of. The times I cursed you out. The times I thought, and he went like that. Paid everybody their money and went home. On his way out, he was followed by one of his coworkers. And one of his coworkers said, man, are you a dope? What's wrong with you? He's like, no, listen, I went to this place. And they talked about Jesus. And man, I gave my heart to Jesus. And you need to give your heart to Jesus. Because ever since I met him, I've had this peace in my heart. I had this joy in my life. I know my life's a mess, but man, I'm just a different man. And I know what you're doing. And you need to come to church with me today. Brought him to church. Same exact thing. Time went by until this guy, who was also living a sinful life, an immoral life, after hearing what I'm telling you today, the forgiveness of sins, of how much God loves them, he also gave his life to Jesus. Christian is his name. And I tell you that to tell you this, I think I have a picture of them here now to share it with you. This was about a month ago. We were on our way back from a crusade, and that the older gentleman is Roque, and the guy on his right is Christian. And you know what? This year, they both are going to receive their credentials as Assemblies of God pastors in Argentina. Amen. Only Jesus, man. The power of forgiveness. And listen, you and I, we preach a gospel of forgiveness. And that's something, a gift. Maybe invite my brother to help me as I wrap this thing up right here with the keyboard. An encounter with Jesus equips you to reach people. Here God was giving Peter an opportunity to change his life, to give him purpose. And we all know Simon Peter. And he never had the training to make it as a religious figure, but he had an encounter with Jesus. He never had the education to make it as a worldwide preacher, but he had an encounter with Jesus. He didn't have the necessary connections to make it as a leader in the church. But boy, he had an encounter with Jesus. What I'm trying to tell you is this. An encounter with Jesus alters everything. Jesus replied to Simon, and he tells him, don't be afraid. Fear not, because the love of God expels all fear. From now on, you will be fishing for people. Verse 11. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed him. You know, when you encounter Jesus and you see those beautiful eyes, you'll never be the same. Logic goes away. When you see what he has accomplished for you and me on that cross and through his resurrection, you understand, man, this is the most important person in my entire life. That's the relationship I need to take care of the most. If that relationship goes out, everything else dies in my life. Maybe you're here today, and you're in need of forgiveness. Or maybe you need to give forgiveness to someone else that doesn't deserve it, just like you didn't deserve it. But I'm asking you to please stand with me. Please stand with me right now. I've asked Pastor Eddie to help me with this altar call. And maybe today it's time for you to come home, man. It's time for you to die to your religion and die to your logic and die to your doubts and embrace the one that wants to not just forgive you, but give you eternal life. So maybe you want to close your eyes and bow your heads with me as we stand before his presence, as our hearts are touched by his spirit. Maybe today you can respond to him as he leads you.
I feel overwhelmed at this moment to tell you, somebody I believe in this place this morning needs to hear these words, that Jesus loves you just like you are. So often we disqualify ourselves based on our past. Peter did that day in the boat. He had thought about all the things he had done wrong, all the times he had sinned against God. And here was God standing in the boat with him. And today I want you to know God's standing in this church this morning, and he's looking you in the face, and he's telling you, those of you who think you've done too much to be forgiven, I love you just like you are. As a matter of fact, I demonstrated my love for you by dying on that cross. That act was for you. And this morning, I'm going to just step out in faith this morning and ask you, if that's you this morning and you know that God is speaking directly to you and it's your day to say yes to Jesus, like Peter said yes to Jesus, I want to invite you to this altar right now. Don't hesitate. Step out of your seat and come down here at this moment, right this minute. Come on, don't hesitate. I know there are more of you. I know there are more of you. We'll wait. That's not all. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now, and he's telling you, you've not done too much. As a matter of fact, I forgave all your sin, including the ones you thought were too much. Would you guys that are in your seats just stretch your hands out toward the folks here at the front? And you guys just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, today I recognize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I receive your forgiveness, Jesus. I confess with my mouth that you're Lord of my life. I believe it in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And today I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Never, ever am I going to walk the same path again. God, I want to do it your way. My ways have gotten me to where I am, but I believe that your ways will get me to where it is you want me to go. And I'm ready to go there if you'll lead me in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now I want you to know, the Bible says, when one sinner repents, it says that all of heaven rejoices. I want you to know today, heaven is rejoicing on your behalf. For the rest of you, for the rest of you. Many times when God calls us, we feel like we're not worthy, as Peter thought he wasn't worthy. We feel like we're not equipped. But you know what? As Pastor Luis said, Jesus is just looking for a willing vessel. If you're a willing vessel this morning to take the message of Jesus to the world around you, would you just raise your hand? Say, I'm willing. Say, I'm willing. I couldn't hear you. And I want you to know, many times, the person that you're thinking of right now that you're willing to go and tell, it doesn't make sense. You know their life. You know what they've done. And you think, they're never going to accept Jesus. I had a friend like that. This is a true story. I had a friend like that. Told my wife in a Bible study, he'll never accept Jesus. I led him to Christ one day right before church about 12 years ago. Don't ever tell God he can't save somebody. Just be willing to go and then do what does not always make sense but always makes great faith, and let them have an encounter with Jesus just like you did. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you call the least of us, that you equip those of us who think we've done too much to ever be used by you. But God, that's the ones that you look for that are just willing to go and do and say what you've called them to go and do and say. We give you praise and we thank you for calling us. We ask you to equip us as we go to be the literal hands and feet of Jesus and the mouthpiece to the world around us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, don't forget, at the end of the service, when I walk out of here, there are prayer partners standing at each curtain on the sides. If you need prayer for something specific, somebody's sick in your family, you're sick, something going on you just need prayer for, they're there to pray with you about whatever the need may be. Amen? God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.